Welcome everybody online too, and those that are here and stragglers that are coming in. That's what we do, right? We end up making our way in here, but hey, let's just pray. God, we just thank you for this night. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to hear the word of God and see what it is that you have for our life and to encourage us, to build us up. And God, we ask that you would just be with so many that are going through all kinds of crazy things, and people that have the COVID, people are trying to get surgeries that can't get them. And God, we just ask that you just would open that up so that people can get those surgeries and different ones can be able to have done what they need to. With knee surgery, there's just so many people out there that need so many different things, and because of this crazy COVID, aren't able to do that. And God, that you would work out those details, and we just thank you for doing that in your name. Amen. Okay, we'll see what happens tonight. Do we don't need to announce anything, or Pastor, is that, or everything all set? Okay. If you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Wheelock here. Some of you online may not know who I am, but anyways, we got a lot of verses we could probably read here. And the first one I'm going to start off with is Isaiah 41 and verse 10. And for Isaiah 41:10, and probably most of these I'll probably read in a different translation, but you'll get the point. And it really just helps be like understand, you know, some of these different just the way it says it and how it explains it out. But anyways, in Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Do not fear anything." Boy, don't we need to hear that today. "Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid." So I guess he's got a few commands here. And he says, "For I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you." Not if you do the right things, I'll help you. He says, no, I will help you. And he says, "I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous hand, a hand of justice, of power, of victory, of salvation." So God knows how to take care of us. And he's right flat out saying, it's like, do not have any fear, because I am with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to take care of you every step of the way. You know, in Psalms 23, it's a familiar verse, but you know, it's amazing how we forget these familiar verses that should be really part of our lifestyle when things come our way. But it says in verse 4, it says, "Even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness." Isn't that kind of neat how it puts that? You know, how many of us are going through deep, dark times, different valleys in our lives? And he says, "Fear will never conquer me, for you already have." Thank God he had a mindset that said, no, fear is not going to conquer me. I'm not going to allow fear to conquer me. He says, "Your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near." It's like, what a declaration. I mean, what a declaration for us, you know, to just, you know, when fear and different things come our way, it's like God gives us a great opportunities to declare things out into the world and in my situations and in the atmosphere around me. You know, I have this opportunity to declare who I am, you know, and it's like, and I don't have to cower to what it is that's going on all around. And Psalms 27:1, it says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" It says, "The Lord is the refuge and fortress of my life. Whom shall I dread?" Man, we have this amazing fortress that he says that I'm in. It's like I'm in him, and it's like, and I have so much to be thankful for this way. And Psalms 46:1-3, "God, you're such a safe and powerful place to find refuge." Boy, how is it that we go to so many other crazy places to find refuge? And it's like, and he says, hey, it's right here. And he's like, I can find it in him. I can find my refuge in him. It's like, wow, that takes a lot of thinking, doesn't it? And it says, you're a proven help. You know, not a like, oh man, you're the last resort. It's like, you're a proven help in time of trouble. He says, more than enough and always available whenever I need you. Not when it's convenient. It's like, always available to me. He's always available to each and every one of us without fail. And it's like, so we will never fear, even if every structure of support were to crumble away. Boy, things are crumbling away these days, aren't they? And it doesn't matter to him. He's just saying, even if they all, you know, crumble away, it is like, we will not fear, even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea, for the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith. Boy, he had just a little bit of a substance about who he was, didn't he? I mean, it's like he knew who he was, and he says, you know, it's not going to be eroded away because some earthquake and all these shakings and all these things that's going on. It's like, no, because I know that you're going to be faithful. I know that you're going to be there and you're going to take care of me right in the midst of all that. And Psalms 118:6, he says, now I know, Lord, that you are for me, and I will never fear what man can do to me. Boy, how easy it is for us to fear what men may do. But he says, no, I'm not going to allow fear to phase me and what people say about me. You know, a famous verse, John 14:27, I leave the gift of peace with you, my peace, not the kind of fragile peace given by the world. Boy, isn't that true? You know, you try to grab some peace out there in the world, and it's like, it don't last very long, does it? I mean, it's like, you know, if they can, you know, it's like, oh, I'll promise you this, and it's like, yeah, as long as you give me this or whatever, and it's like, yeah, this, you know how the world is. You know, give me, give me, give me, and it's like, and, you know, they don't want, they don't know how it is to take care of us. And it says, don't yield to fear or be troubled in your heart. Instead, be courageous. Be courageous. See, God is wanting us to learn how to be courageous. You know, instead of, you know, just cowering and just allowing ourselves to be able to be taken away by every little thing that comes around. And I thought this was, you know, so unique, and I'm trying to think of which part I want to read of this thing first, but it's like, I wanted to give you, you understand this story, but I want to give it to you a little bit of what it is that I'm going to read after this is what it's talking about. But in 1 Samuel 17 says that, and David said to Saul, because remember he came to bring some food for his brothers, and his brothers gave him a hard time, but I'm passing all that. And it says, let no man's heart fail because of him. Speaking of Goliath, he says, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. It's like, oh yeah, okay, you're a kid, right? And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight him. Boy, have you ever heard that one before? You can't fight this. You can't go against anything. You know, it's like, that's too big for you. And it's like, for thou art a youth, and he is a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went after him and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. The servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he has defiled the armies of the living God. So I want to read what, I just saw this week, and I just thought it was like, wow, what a picture. I mean, you know, so we hear that, and it's like, we just kind of, wow, okay, he slew that. It's like, so now let me show you the picture of what this guy was just bringing out about that scene. So it's like, he says, imagine this highly likely scene with me, that David is in the midst of one of those intensely raw and honest moments with God, when suddenly he sees a lion come and snatch one of his lambs. It's like, okay, you're the shepherd, and it's all of a sudden this lion comes out and grabs a lamb. And he says, now, if I were the shepherd, I might be relieved to see the lion take only one of the lambs rather than coming after me. Boy, isn't that You know, I mean, it's like, I'm glad you got that guy, you know, but it's like, but look at the picture he creates here. But this day, David is in a different mode. He so identifies with the innocent lamb that should have been protected and cared for, that he makes a decision that changes his life forever. David makes an inner vow to not let that lion have that lamb, even if it's the last thing he ever does. So David begins to chase the lion, a seemingly very unwise thing to do. As he runs after the lion, he suddenly feels a change inside of him. I get a kick out how he puts it, similar to how Clark Kent must feel when he shifts into his inner Superman. It was just kind of cute how he puts that, but he effortlessly catches up to the lion and lays a right cross onto the lion's head with such force that it causes the lion to relax its half-ton grip on the lamb, dropping him. So look at this picture. I mean, it's like, okay, so this is like an intense scene. I mean, you're really asking for trouble right now. And the lion turns on David, as we might expect. But David is now Superman, or God must have given him a supernatural strength. And it's like, and he feels fearless, strong, fast, and completely supernatural. Without thinking, he grabs the lion by his beard. Oh, yeah, right. But he grabs it, and it said it in the word, that he grabbed his beard. So he's like, he's not, I just want it. And he grabs it with beard, and with another power punch, kills it in one blow. How dare this lion come after one of his innocent lambs? I believe David felt understood by God for the first time in his life, and he discovered the truth that God was indeed a good shepherd and truly did care that David had always felt like an abandoned lamb. And I think it was out of this experience that he wrote there in Psalms 23. You know, I mean, it's like, just, you know, imagine that scene that must have been. I mean, he wasn't going to cower at that. So he's telling Saul, you know something? I took out a lion, you know, and I took out a bear. And it's like, in this uncircumcised Philistine, who the heck does he think he is anyways? You know, I mean, it's like, if you go up against a lion and you go up against a bear, I don't think you probably have as, you know, maybe the fears that some people would have. And he went and he said, let me at him. You know, and it's like, and isn't it the case? I mean, we know the whole scene with David and Goliath, and it's like, and how David, how Goliath, you know, he just mocked, you know, the Israelites. You know, it's like, hey, send somebody out here to do something, you know, and it's like, everybody cowered, didn't they? Wouldn't that sound like about right now? Everybody's just kind of cowering to all the stuff that's going on. And it took a David, somebody that knew who he was, that stood up. He says, how dare this guy, you know, go against the armies of the living God? He says, I'll go after him. And it's like, I mean, just picture the scene. It had to have been insane, you know, seeing this little boy going out there, and yet he knew who he was. And he was not going to be distracted by the fact that this guy was a big guy. It's like, no, I know who I am. I took out a lion. I took out a bear. And it's like, and this guy that thinks he's going to go against the armies of the living God, it's like he's got another thing coming. So he went with an intensity that was just way beyond the natural. And he saw something probably in himself that he didn't even realize that he had until that time came. You know, I mean, it's like, you know how sometimes you'll do something, it's like, boy, I wonder if I should have done that. It's like he wasn't afraid to step out. He wasn't afraid to step out in faith. And it says in there, Joshua 1:9, he says, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified or dismayed or intimidated, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, David was not going to be intimidated. He wasn't going to be intimidated by the enemy. He wasn't going to be intimidated by the armies that were there. You know, and it's like, and he came back real quick with what Goliath said. It's like, oh, you know, he's like, I'll take you and I'll take the rest of the armies. You know, it's like, I'm going to take your head off, and it's like, and I'm going to feed, you know, your carcasses to the birds of the air. Because, you know, remember, Goliath thought he would just kind of make him feel a little bit like a jerk, you know, and it's like, am I a dog, you know, that you get come out to me? You know, it's like, who do you think you are? That's exactly what the world does to us all the time. Tries to intimidate us. Try to just get us to a place where it reduces us and gets us to cower and to be in fear instead of understanding that I can stand tall and know who I am in Christ. Deuteronomy 31:6, it said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble in dread before them, for it is your Lord. It is the Lord your God who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. See, he is not going to abandon us. See, many times, you know, God wants to challenge us, you know, to step into things and up the risk. He wants us to say, trust him that he'll do something. You know, it's like, I love what happened, you know, with these guys, and it's, I'll have to be careful with the story, but anyways, this family went to the Roman, you know, Pope is there and everything, and you know how there's that huge area there in front of the place where he usually speaks, and it's like, and they get off the bus, and one of the younger boys happens to get off the bus and starts running across this place, and it's like, where's he going? And it's like, and he sees this guy, you know, like a quite a ways over in a wheelchair. And it's like, because he's seen his father do things that were unusual, he ran over there and he says, hey, can I pray for you? And it's like, well, yeah, but I'm paralyzed from my waist down. He's like, that's all right. And it's like, so this is what he did, one of those David things. It's like, hey, everybody. It's like, you want to see a miracle happen? Hey, come on over here. Come here. Come on, look. Watch. You want to see God do something amazing? Up the ante. I mean, it's like usually what we would typically do. Hey, can I pray for you? It's like, and oh God, please do something. Oh, please, if it's your will that you do something. It's like, no, he didn't do that. He's seen God do mighty things. And he got all kinds of people all around. And it's like, and he went to pray for him. And it's like, he says, hey, do you feel anything yet? And he says, nope, not yet. Well, let me pray again. Gets down, prays again. And he's like, hey, so can I, my toes, I can feel my toes. It's like, really? He's like, let me pray again. Prays again. It's like, now, he's like, can you feel? And he's like, I can feel my legs. I can't believe it. I can feel my legs. And it's like, well, hey, why don't you stand up? And it's like, and this kid stands up. He's like, hey, see? That's God. That's my God. He knows how to touch people's lives. This is a great God that I serve. And it's like, and this kid just went running all around the place. Talk about a testimony. It's like, but he dared to bring the risk level up way higher. See, we're not accustomed to wanting to bring up the risk. We just want to try to bring that risk down because it's like, oh man, what happens if God doesn't? See, and God loves to bring us, you know, challenge him to bring it to a place where there's something that's he's going to have to come through or else. You know, and it's like, and not saying that that's what you attempt to do all the time, but so many times, you know, God wants to show us this. He wants us to step up the ability that to prove that God is a great God that he is. He's not just a wimp. He's not a God that doesn't take care of his people. But anyway, it's like, yeah, it's God is so good. I thought that this was something we shared. Josh will remember this, but I thought this was so good in Acts 16. And it's like, and I was trying to figure out how to cut out some of these verses, but it's like, if you don't really see the whole picture, you don't kind of see what's going on here. And so in Acts 16:16, it says, for one day we were going to the house of prayer. They were just doing what they would do every day. They would just go to the house of prayer, which they would go three times a day, you know, and they were just minding their own business, apparently. And all of a sudden we encountered a young slave girl who had an evil spirit of divination, the spirit of Python. And it's like, and she had earned great profits for her owners by being a fortune teller. So it's like, they would just go in to pray, and it's like, and this girl comes around and kind of just is irritating them, and it's like, and what's amazing is, what is it that she says? He's like, she kept following us, shouting, "These men are servants of the great high God, and they're telling us how to be saved." So that's somebody that has an evil spirit is bearing witness to who these guys were. That is like, these guys are from God, you know, and it's like, and they're telling us how we can get saved. And it's like, so what's funny is like, it didn't just happen once. It was day after day after day, it says. And they were, she was constantly, must have been following them around, and it's like, and she continued to do this until Paul got greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit indwelling her, "I command you in the name of Jesus, the anointed one, to come out of her now." And at that very moment, the Spirit came out of her. When her owners realized that their potential of making profit had vanished, they forcefully seized Paul and Silas and dragged them off to the city square to face the authorities. So it kind of gets a little bit interesting here. And so when they appeared before the Roman soldiers and magistrates, the slave owners leveled accusations against them, saying, "These Jews are troublemakers. They're throwing our city into a confusion." Well, it seems like this girl was doing quite a bit of that. She was letting people know who they were and that why they were there, you know? And it's like, but they lost their income from this situation. And he said, "They're pushing their Jewish religion down our throats. It's wrong and unlawful for them to promote this Jewish ways or their Jewish ways, for we are Romans living in a Roman colony." And a great crowd gathered, and all the people joined in to come against them. Boy, it's like, how many times do we have a few people that are kind of against us, and all of a sudden, now there's a great crowd, you know, that are against us. You know, it always seems like, you know, when somebody says something, it's like, it's easy for somebody else to join in, even though they probably don't even know what's going on, but it's like, oh yeah, you gotta do something about this. It's like, so it wasn't just a few people now. And so what they did is, the Romans, officials ordered that Paul and Silas be stripped of their garments and beaten with rods on their bare backs. So it's like, okay, here things were going good until, you know, now you're getting beaten up. And it's like, so after they were severely beaten, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound and chained. So it was one thing, I mean, it's one thing just to get thrown in jail, but it's like, and as if they got to go anywhere, you know, because they're in jail, but they got to put them in, you know, what we'd call solitary confinement, you know, and they put them, you know, in chains, so it's like they weren't going to get away. And what I love about this is like, so here you're going out and you're spreading the gospel, you're spreading the good news, and this is what happens to them. And it's like, and I love what it is that Paul and Silas did. And it's like, and I love this word we went into, you know, that was so good. It's like, and Paul and Silas, undaunted. Or I had to look that up. And it's like, not intimidated or discouraged by difficulty, danger, or disappointment, fearless and steadfast. So they were undauntedly prayed in the middle of the night. They were not fazed by what it was that happened to them. I mean, they were not bothered by what it was that happened to them. And it's like, and they prayed in the night and sang songs of praise to God while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. Boy, it's like, you know, they're the ones that should have been very upset that they were treated that way. And yet, oh no. It's like, man, you know, God took care of it. They didn't kill us. And it's like, and they weren't going to, you know, they weren't there to try to bark and say that they, you know, I can't believe they did this to me. And it's like, I need to have a lawyer and we need to do something about this. It's like, oh no, they were undaunted. They were not fazed by what happened. And it proves it by the fact that they were singing songs of praise at the midnight hour. And all the prisoners heard them. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, you get this captive audience. And it's like, and all these people are hearing you praising God. And it's like, what's amazing is like, in the middle of all that, suddenly a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. So what do you think, I mean, it's like, what happens with the earthquakes and buildings that are made out of concrete? It usually destroys them. And it said it shook the foundations. So it literally destroyed this prison. To such an extent, you know, and it's like, and I understand it's like, yeah, God, he did. But it's like, you know, it probably was no problem because being that the thing was so shaken and destroyed, the doors opened up. But it's like, but that prison was useless after that. Because it's like nothing was going to work. Everything was, you know, just crumbled. And it's like, and all that, and at once, every prison door flung open and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. And it's like, it came loose not because they argued and that they were really upset because of what happened to them. A earthquake transformed that prison. And Shane, and then you could go in further, and how that the jailer there, he was going to kill himself, ended up getting saved, and his whole house got saved. Because they weren't going to get upset because they were beaten. Boy, that would be a different kind of a way to live, isn't it? You know, it's like to have that kind of a mentality. I mean, it was just amazing. Just this past week, I was at this lady's house, and she was telling me that this guy threw a brick through a front window. And it's like, oh man, isn't that kind of crazy? He says, yeah, it's like, must have been having a problem. He says, I just am purposing to pray for that guy. It's like, God, I gotta learn how. I have to have a different attitude, different way of thinking. Because it's like, we're, you know, our natural mind would just love it. And it's like, man, I gotta get a hold of that guy. I'm gonna take this guy. I mean, it's like, you know, we have all this stupid, normal, natural thinking that we do, isn't it? We want to take this person out. It's like, how dare you do this? It's like, different, whole different mindset, whole different attitude. It's like, man, this guy needs help. This guy needs help. And it's like, wow, different spirit. You know, what kind of a spirit are we of? What is it that motivates us? What is it that pushes our buttons to get us into a mode that could think that way, that would want to try to, you know, pay them back for what they did instead of, wow, it's like, man, I wonder if I could find him so I could pray for that person, you know, and bestow love and kindness on them and ask them, hey, is there something I could help you with? Different way of thinking. And it's like, and here in Romans 8, so what does all this mean? I love how Paul does this here. He says, if God has determined to stand with us, tell me, who then could ever stand against us? I mean, can anybody stand against us? For God has proven his love by giving us his greatest treasure, the gift of his Son. And since God freely offered him up as a sacrifice for us all, he certainly won't withhold from us anything else that he has to give. He's not going to hold anything back. I mean, it's like, absolutely nothing. 33, it says, who then would dare to accuse those whom God has chosen in love to be his? God himself is the judge who has issued his final verdict over them, not guilty. I mean, it's like, he looks at us as one that is not guilty. You know, different perspective. Who then is left to condemn us? Certainly not Jesus, the anointed one, for he gave us his life, gave his life for us, and even more than that, he has conquered death and is now risen, exalted, and enthroned by God at his right hand. So how could he possibly condemn us since he is continually praying for us for our triumph? I mean, just think of it, it's like, you know, talk about having the best friend that you could ever imagine, and it's like, and greater than the friend, I mean, it's like he's the God of the universe, and it's like, and he's not going to condemn us. He's not going to put us down. And it's like, you know, how many times we blow it, we do some stupid little thing, You know, and it's like it's so easy for ourselves to condemn ourselves, let alone other people. And yet God is like, no, I'm not condemn you. It's like, you're my child. You know, I sent my son to pay for your sins. And it's like, and it was past, present, and future. Not, it's like, oh, well, let me see how you do. Let me see if you can live up to my standard. Let's just watch. You know, let me just, you know, put a little leash on you to make sure you don't get too far away. You know, it's like, no, that's not how God thinks. See, he doesn't think that way towards us. You know, and he goes on, and he says, who could ever divorce us from the endless love of God, God's anointed one? Absolutely no one. For nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. So apparently, you know, it doesn't matter if any kind of a thing out there, fear, all these different things that try to come against us, it's like, it's not going to work. He says, no, you're my child. And it's like, and I'm not letting go of you, and you're in the palm of my hand, and it's like, and I've got a place prepared for you. It's not like, well, I may have a place, we'll just see how you do. No, he says, no, I've prepared a place for you. You know, I've prepared this amazing mansion for you, and it's like, and it's waiting for you when you get there. You know, and he has this amazing provision for us all along the way to let us see, you know, the greatness of how God, you know, knows how to forgive us, knows how to just, you know, when he sees our faults, he says, oh, yeah, it's like, yeah, thank you, I paid for that. It's like, that's not who you are. It's like, you're a child of the living God. You know, this is who you are. Yeah, but look what I just did. It's like, no, but you're mine. You're this chosen, a chosen person. It's like, I chose you from the foundation of the world to be perfect, to be holy, not be one that is like, I'm hoping he's going to make it. Oh, I hope he's going to make it. He's like, I hope these, he's like, no. He says, he says that you're going to be holy, you know, from the foundation of the world, he says, that he chose us as one that was holy and perfect in his eyes. It's like, but we don't deserve that. It's like, thank God we don't. He's the one that paid the price. So it's not based on what I've done or what I can do or what I can hold on to or what I can do to supposedly keep myself in the right place. You know, it's like we do all these different things, don't we? And for nothing in the universe has the power to diminish his love towards us. Troubles, pressures, and problems are unable to come between us and heaven's love. What about persecutions, deprivations, dangers, and death threats? No, for they are all impotent to hinder omnipotent love. Even though it is written, all the day long we face death threats for your sake, God. We are considered to be as nothing more than sheep to the slaughter. And yet, even in the midst of all these things, we triumph over them all. For God has made us to be more than conquerors. Not just a conqueror. One that can go into the situation, go into the battle, and it's like, and the battle is already won. See, that's what more than a conqueror is all about. It's like we go into the battle, and it's like we're waiting to supposedly do this battle, and it's like, oh, no, it's I already won it for you. It's like it's already taken care of. Yeah, but I didn't do it. It's like, yeah, that's the point. He says, more than a conqueror. We're more than a conqueror going into situations and life situations and things that are going on in our life. He wants to see that this is the way he looks at us. You're more than a conqueror. You're the one that I've provided this way for you, and it's like, and you don't even have to work for it. It's like, I think that's called the finished work. You know, it's that he did something for us that we couldn't possibly do on our own. And he says, yep, you're going to be more than a conqueror in this situation. Oh, yeah, that situation there too? Oh, yeah, you're going to be more than a conqueror in that one. Yeah, but I'm just, you know, things that seem like it's not. He's like, no, you're going to be more than a conqueror because I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you direction. I'm going to give you my mind. I'm going to show you what it is and how it is I think about you and through you and how in this situation I'm going to provide a way that you don't even see yourself. Yeah, but that's not fair, is it? That's our God. You know, it's just like, you know, the quarterback, you know, knowing what the other guys are going to do, you know, and he knows exactly what they're going to do, and it's like, and they do the play, and it's like it completely befuddles them. It's like because he knew what was going on. And how much even the more that God does that in our lives. And it says, so now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced. You know, it's not like, well, I hope so. You know, it's like, I know that. It's like, no, I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or rulers in the heavens, or demons. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. See, nothing can weaken what it is that he's done for us. You know, we get stressed out. We get tired. You know, we just not, you know, sometimes we just don't have the strength to be able to do something. He's like, but he doesn't even know what that is like. You know, it's like he never falters one bit. And it's like, there is no power above us or beneath us, no power that could ever be found in the universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through Jesus, the Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. I mean, nothing can separate us. I mean, it's like the only thing that can ever separate us is where is it that my mind and where is it that I'm going to try to allow myself to get suckered in by what the enemy will try to tell me. Am I going to let fear come in to, you know, tell me that it's like, oh, well, I guess he maybe isn't for me today. It's like, no, it's like, what is the word telling me? What, you know, why is it that we constantly say is get to know the word, get to know what God says about who we are, get to know the promises of God, get to know the fact that it says 365 times, fear not. So we have one for every single day of the year. And it's like, and we have over 7,800 promises for us that we can grab a hold of any time, any moment. You know, it's like no matter what it is that's going on in my life, I can grab a hold of truth that he's given us freely through the Word of God, and he's wanting us to learn how to hide the Word of God in our heart so what? We don't sin against him. He wants us to hide the word in us and understand that these promises are yea and amen. There's not one of them that are going to fall to the ground and die. Every single one of these promises are for me. And it's like, no matter what it is I come up against, no matter what kind of a fear, no matter what kind of trial, no matter what kind of, you know, discouraging thing that the enemy will try to bring my way, my God is able. Our God has the ability to completely destroy no matter what it is that is there to try to hinder us. It's just us understanding who we are. You know, it's like how quick we are to forget who it is that we are. And why do you think it is this? Over and over again it says, you know, we need to build ourselves up in the most holy faith because we so many times forget what that looks like. And we forget the truths that we heard a week or two or three or four or a year ago and things that it's like, wow, that was like amazing message. And it's like, yeah, we just need to reiterate. We need to constantly muse on the truths that we've heard, constantly finding ways to muse on the amazing power behind the Word of God that can set me free no matter what kind of situation and no matter what kind of circumstance I'm in. And it's like it's understanding that he is there and he is going to give me exactly what I need. It doesn't matter if I messed up. It doesn't matter. It's like, yeah, but I deserve this. It's like, no, you don't. You are the child of the living God and you're his. And you don't have the chance to say that you don't deserve it. Because he says, you do deserve it. I paid the ultimate price for you. And it's like, and it's yours. And it's like, and don't let the enemy sucker you into thinking that, oh, well, he wouldn't do that for you because you've just blown it way too many times. You've just screwed up way too many times. You really think God's going to do that for you? Yep, I know he is going to because my God is able. And it's like, and I can learn how to take like enemies like the Goliath and all kinds of situations and look them in the face and say, I know who I am. And it's like, and you're going down. This situation, you're going down because I know who I am. I am convinced, I am absolutely persuaded, and I know that he is able, and he is going to give me the strength, he's going to give me the wisdom, he's going to give me the courage, and he's going to give me exactly what I think that I don't deserve, but I deserve it because he did it, and he did it for me so that I could have life and have more abundantly, and I don't have to live in this world and cower to all the crap that is out there that tries to feed me things that make me think that I am less than who I am. It's like, no, I am a child of the living God. And it's like, and he just can't wait to constantly shower us and bless us and keep pouring on the blessings, keep on, you know, taking opportunities and showing us who he really is and blessing us way beyond we could ever imagine, because that's who he is. He is love. He is our Father. He is our Savior. And he's the one that's preparing a place for us. And he can't wait to spend all of eternity with us. So it's like, if you thought that, it's like, well, we really aren't worthy. It's like, no, he can't wait to spend all of eternity with us. So, you know, if he really didn't think that much of us, it's like, I don't think he'd want to spend eternity with us. You know, I really don't think he would he? I mean, you know how there's some people that it's like, man, I hope he's not going to be around. You know, it's like, you know, and it's like, but see, God didn't even have to think that way. God didn't even have that kind of a thought. It's like, no, I created them for my purpose. I created them in my image. I created them because I want to shower them with blessings. I want to show them who they are. And I'm going to give them the opportunity to see how much I love them by everything that I'm going to pour out on them after they finally get to the place where what they wish they aren't going to ever see, death, and that right on the other side of that threshold, it's like he's going to open up the windows of heaven for us and show us the magnitude of how much he loves us. And that he just has something so far beyond what we could ever imagine or think, because he's God and we're not. And it's like, and we have that guy living right inside of us. He says, we are the temple of the living God. And it's like, and he dwells inside of us. And he just wants us to realize who it is that we are in him. You know, he's constantly wanting to just let us see that. It's like, I am more than able to take care of you in this situation. And it's like, and I've given you so much scripture to show and prove who it is that I am for you. You know, and it's like one last thing here in Romans 15:13, he says, now may God, the fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. See, that's how God thinks towards us. I mean, that's the way, you know, it's like he's given us this amazing hope. He surrounds us with his life. He has angels that are constantly watching out for us. He has this amazing plan and purpose that he has for my life. And it's like, and he's letting us have the opportunity to see how he orchestrates my life, you know, and see how I'm living in the plan that he's purposed for my life. And I get to see something way bigger than who I am. A living God that cares, loves me, and is like, and can't wait for me to just grab a hold of his hand, and no matter what kind of situation I'm in. Amen. God, we just thank you so much for who you are. God, we thank you that you are just so unlimited. There's just nothing that we could ever do to deserve any of that, but you said that you paid for that price so that we didn't have to do that. And God, we thank you that we are your child and that you want to just so, you know, pour into our lives so much more than we could ever imagine so that we are able to experience heaven right here on earth because you've given us that opportunity through your word, through truth, through hope, through your amazing spirit that wants to just open up the windows of heaven in our lives and just reveal a glorified and a great God. And we just thank you and ask that you just would bless each one here tonight. In your name, amen. I guess that's it.